Stir 1.5 cups of cheddar cheese into the mixture. Put the mixture into a deep microwavable dish.
Oh my god, you guys, when I'm capturing the flag, you need to guard me! You need to guard me when I'm capturing the flag! Move out of my way!
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Fowler has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C! Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio, guys. I am your host, Lance, a.k.a. Sev, and I'm joined by Josh, and unfortunately Ian is not with us this week, but welcome, guys, and tonight we've got a great show lined up. First, we're going to be talking about a possible Halo TV series, a new RPG project on Kickstarter, and Nintendo's financial situation, and all of your updates on Steam, and more. So welcome to the show. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. But it's been an interesting week for gaming. There's the Halo announcement. Actually, we heard about it, I think, last E3, the TV series. But this is something that a lot of Halo fans have been wanting for a long time. Actually, they've been really wanting a movie, right?
But yeah. We want a movie.
Yeah, we want a movie.
We're not going to get one, so we'll settle for a TV series.
I mean, honestly, how bad could that be? It'd be really bad. I'm pretty hopeful for it, considering the person who's helming it, which is Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
No.
He's directing it, which is interesting. I don't know. When I think of Spielberg, I think of all the books that he's written
right.
and stuff.
I mean, well, what about Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I mean, he's made a lot of good movies. Like you said, Jurassic Park.
Saving Private Ryan.
Super 8.
Super 8 was really good.
Yeah.
All the other Indiana Jones. not the last one.
Yeah, that's... When you think about the last movie that he... I don't know if that's the last movie he made, but it's probably one of the most recent ones he's made.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure.
You know, Aliens and...
Actually, I'm going to look it up.
I guess he got the alien part down.
Yeah, I mean, so we can trust him that we can have great-looking aliens, at least.
But we had Tarzan. I don't know. Maybe Master Chief will swing through some trees.
Oh, God. Let's please not even joke about that. That's not even funny, man.
Nazis will try to
just come out of a time warp. A bunch of Nazis come into the Halo.
Yeah.
It looks like the last thing he did was Lucky 7, which was a TV series. Actually, wait, no, that was he was a producer on that. My bad.
I don't watch that, so I can't. He made Band of Brothers, which was really good.
Yeah, okay, the last movie he directed was Lincoln. Yeah, that was the last one, which I heard was actually pretty good.
Oh, it's pretty boring.
I mean, it got a 7.5.
I was forced to go.
You saw it?
Yes. If you're, yeah. I mean, I was forced to go as a social thing. You know.
Yeah.
I guess it was okay. I'm not big into. It was all right.
I mean, it's it's Daniel Day-Lewis though. I mean, he's a great actor. But anyway,
it's not a great movie compared to Halo because it's got no action in it. So it's more of a political.
Well,
thing.
Was it dramatic? I mean,
it was more historical,
right.
Political. So,
but we can trust him to put out a good story, good writing.
Hopefully. I just hope he does it justice, because what just came out not too long ago was Forward Unto Dawn.
Right.
Which was a live-action Halo miniseries was released online.
Yeah, which was great. I liked it. It had a slow start.
Really good job.
It had a slow start, but it was good. It was good. I'm trying to convince Ryan Lopez from Hippo Juice to actually finish it, but he's a noob and won't. But
that's really good.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
I think they saved like most of the development money for those last couple episodes, which allowed them to probably do a lot more if they had tried to do more action in all of it.
Which is funny because Microsoft is so like against doing a movie. And it seems that for Forward Unto Dawn, like you said, it seemed like they held back their development money for the later episodes. For some reason, Microsoft is so like hell bent on basically not helping a Halo movie, you know, go. I don't know what I'm trying to think of, but this article that I'm looking up here on IGN, it's basically saying that Microsoft came out and reaffirmed that there is no Halo movie in the works whatsoever. Like, they're going to work on the TV show, which is still going to be, did it say directed or produced by Steven Spielberg?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Because that could be a big difference. That could be a big
But at least, you know, no movie, but at least a TV series. Maybe it'll keep going for longer, you know? So...
excuse me. Something went down my mouth.
Forward Unto Dawn kind of did a TV series like approach. I mean, obviously not as long as an episode, but it released it in sections and it was still really good. And they kind of just took all the episodes and put it into a movie that was released on Netflix and stuff like that. So
it's very easy
to
do.
It could turn into something that's good.
And the thing is, it's not that hard to do a awesome looking Halo film. I mean, look at the short film that Neil Blomkamp, the guy who did District 9, he put out a few short films of Halo, and actually they turned out really, really good. Everyone was super excited,
right?
And you know, that was something that you know, can give us some hope that hey, it's definitely possible to make out something for Halo that's really entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of CGI and live action movies that have put out. You think of a really good CGI movie that was put out was Final Fantasy: The Spirit Within.
Mm-hmm. Man, I haven't seen that in a long time. Yeah,
and the character at parts of the movie, I could swear that I couldn't tell the difference between CGI and real. You know, and so you can do a really good job with live action and CGI, and the technology is here now. That it should be cheap enough to be able to do a Halo TV series.
We have the technology.
Yeah, we've got the technology. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they're going to do a good job on it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Halo, you know, everybody knows about Siri for the iPhone.
No, it's Siri for the Android.
No, it's Siri for the iPhone, my friend.
Siri, I could have swore Siri is on the
Android. No. Yeah, Siri is on the
Android.
Okay, go ahead. Siri is...
It is. All right.
It's okay. You only first got a smartphone, like what? Like five days ago?
Yeah, dude. I was rocking an ancient phone for a long time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah,
anyway.
They're releasing a Cortana Siri.
Yeah, for Microsoft phone.
And they're actually employing Cortana voice actress.
Yeah, Jen Taylor.
Yeah.
Now,
I think that's awesome.
It's funny because I love Android. I would love to keep it. I've always liked it more than an iPhone, but that one thing really makes me want to go get a Windows phone. I mean, how cool would that be? And I'm pretty sure they're actually going to call the program Cortana. I mean, why wouldn't they? But that's something that's going to be really cool. Wow, that's a baby in the background. Yeah. Lost my train of thought. She's reported that she's recording many, many lines for it already.
Yeah,
so it is a thing.
The thing is, when I heard about Microsoft, it's going to be Microsoft doing it. I'm just afraid they're not going to. I mean, I guess they've got a lot of like background, and that's the article that I was reading was talking about. You know, they've got a lot of a character for Cortana already.
Oh yeah.
And that they did say they're going to try to keep her to character. But
I mean, they would have
to. The only bad thing about it is, you know, maybe Microsoft may not get Cortana right, but with the voice actress of Cortana doing it, it should be pretty cool.
It's going to
be pretty awesome.
It's going to be great. And what's cool is they said that it'll be released For the iPhone. Actually, it's just funny. What? MSFT Nerd is also saying that Cortana will make its way to the Bing app. I'm sorry. Yeah, for the Bing app for iPhone this fall. And that the American Xbox One and Windows users in 2015. And it's also going to be on the release of Windows Threshold, which is Microsoft's next generation OS that they're currently working on. So that kind of tells me that, okay, maybe I don't need to have a Windows phone in order to enjoy the Cortana Siri-esque app, you know?
Yeah, it looks like the earliest release is going to be on the iPhone, though.
Which is really funny.
8.1. I don't know if they're talking about the iPhone 8.1 or the data patch release, you know, when they...
Yeah, probably.
So
I would imagine. I don't really know too much about the iPhone, but are you talking about... Wait, are you talking about Windows 8.1?
Windows Phone 8.1, yeah.
Okay, I thought you just said iPhone. Anyway.
Maybe I did.
So yeah, it's and also on Luma devices for this April.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a real thing. I know it was rumored a few months ago, and it's something that a lot of, you know, video game fans and nerds all around can enjoy.
Yeah, it's definitely something exciting and to look forward to. Microsoft definitely has the money to pour into this Cortana project and the live action series.
Right.
So hopefully they do a good job. You know, it's Microsoft, so they'll probably do some stupid crap along the way, but I think overall it'll turn out good.
And at least they have the money and the funding to do it. But, you know, we still can't get a Halo movie, but we'll get a Cortana app, whatever. I guess we'll accept it.
And a live action TV series.
So on Kickstarter, there's this new game that's coming out. It's called The Unsung Story. It's the tale of the Guardians. And it's being developed by Playdeck, by Yasumu Matsuno, who was the designer for the very popular tactical RPG, Final Fantasy Tactics, and, of course, Vagrant Story. Now, this came out a few weeks ago. And what's the goal that they've already... Or, no, I'm sorry. What have they already reached?
Well, their goal was set for $600,000. They've already reached $353,000. And I think they still have a little less than a month to go on it. So there's been a lot of interest generated in this game.
Yeah, especially if it's only been out for a week and it's already raised that much money. They're definitely going to make their goal, if not more. Now, the game itself, though... what is this game about?
Well, Unsung Story was a card game.
Right.
And now Matsuno has released these plans, released the Kickstarter to develop this class-based tactical RPG. And basically what it is you follow the story. The story itself follows several different heroes. And each of these heroes represent a different player class. So, you know, you may have one here that's a tank, one here that's a support, one healer that's a mage, and the story is going to follow each of them. So it seems pretty cool. If anybody doesn't know what a tactical RPG is, basically it's a top-down perspective. It's turn-based where you have, you know, you can move several spaces each turn, use your spells, and then the enemy goes... And so it seems pretty interesting, especially because it seems to promise some good story along with a lot of strategy to it.
Right. And it was interesting. It was saying that your viewpoint into the series of intertwined history, it actually can vary from battle to battle, which means that in one instance, you may command like a group of knights that are protecting an empire. And then in another scenario, you will probably have to lead a group of revolutionary soldiers made up of just commoners who are fighting to topple the exact same empire. So it's really neat that it changes from a different scenario to scenario. And that the battle, of course, it takes place on a 3D landscape and it will immerse you with a player-controlled camera. So it seems really cool.
Yeah, and, I'm really hoping for a very story-driven game, and he wants to reimagine the whole tactical RPG genre, is basically what his words are. So it sounds pretty cool. If you guys are a fan of Final Fantasy Tactics or Vagrant Story, check out the Kickstarter, pledge to it. They plan to release it on mobile devices, also Mac and PC, and they want to port it over to the 3DS and the PS Vita. So they got some pretty big plans for the game.
Yeah, go ahead and pledge some money. I mean, you can pledge as little as $3, which helped keep the Playdeck crew awake. So, just go ahead. $3 is nothing.
Is that their description for their pledge?
No, basically, it says help keep us awake and focused.
Buying coffee, nice.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea.
I think I can start a Kickstarter to buy me some caffeine and some beer.
Yes. And then while you're at it, put it on a car.
Put on a car?
Add on a car.
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to start a Kickstarter. Why don't you guys pledge to me? It'll buy me caffeine so I can stay awake, beer so I can drink, and I can get a new car.
It's great.
Sounds awesome.
Kickstarter's
right?
Amazing.
Yeah. You know who else needs a Kickstarter?
Who's that?
Nintendo.
Nintendogs. Yeah, they've apparently been, they're announcing that they're going to expect to lose about 35 billion yen, which is $336 million, I guess at the end of the year. excuse me. And Nintendo's been having kind of a rough time with the next gen console wars. It's been saying that it's not even the financial season yet, and they're already announcing that they're going to be losing money. And it's just. You were saying something before earlier about the Wii U. I mean, basically, it came out too early, I think.
It came out really early, but they also didn't really push the bounds of the technology.
Yeah, I mean, all they added was like a screen, basically.
You don't really think of the Wii U as a next-gen console like you do the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. You know, Nintendo's doing really good in the handheld market. They've sold a ton of 3DSs, but as far as the Wii U goes, like almost right after release, they had to cut the price $50, and this was before the Xbox One and the PlayStation was out.
Right.
So that really hurt their expected profit. And then they haven't even really sold as many as they expected to either.
Yeah, I'm looking at something here. It says that Nintendo, the 2014 sales, it says that the Wii U went from $9 million to just $2.8 million. That's a big hit. That's a really big hit.
That was their expected unit sales.
Yeah.
From 9 million, and they expected to only sell 2.8. That's like a huge... You know, somebody was way overshooting things at Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's been around for so long that, you know, you think that it's still going to always be around no matter what, but you still have to keep up with, you know, your competitors. I think that the 3DS actually is still going to be something that is going to be very popular, and they'll probably still make a lot of money off of that. I could definitely see Nintendo going into just portable gaming. Really, because like I said, the Wii U is just not cutting it. I mean, the Wii was amazing when it first came out, and that was great, but you kind of have to start thinking outside the box, which is actually kind of funny now that I say that, because PlayStation and Xbox haven't even really done that.
Yeah, but even when the Wii came out, it never did as well as the Xbox 360, or the PlayStation 3.
I think it did very well worldwide, but not so much here in America.
Yeah, Nintendo's sales in Japan is always pretty high.
Same thing as Sony, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I expect Nintendo maybe not even to come out with the next console after this Wii U, because they haven't kept up on the technology. Everybody kind of assumes that they're, you know, it's if you're a really, really big gamer and not just like kind of a casual gamer, most are going to go for the Xboxes and the PlayStations because they have the best IPs on them.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Halo series on them. You got the Final Fantasy series on them. You have just so many of these good IPs, and Nintendo really all it has is Super Smash Brothers and Mario
and Zelda.
And well, yeah, okay, it has Zelda too, which yeah. Zelda's awesome.
Yeah, that's probably the thing that's gonna probably keep them going is Zelda. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that went out and bought a Wii just for Zelda.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of be their, like, I guess, saving grace or whatever. However, it said. It's kind of how what happened with Microsoft. I mean, Halo and Gears of War kind of kept like the Xbox going when it, I think the 360.
Yeah.
But
luckily Nintendo says that they have enough money to
It's Nintendo
to weather this super big loss, which $336 million is huge loss, no matter how much money you have. So they say they can weather it. We'll have to see if they want to stay in the console race or they just fall back to releasing portable devices.
I think if they, again, think outside the box, they can come up with something really good, and I think they'll be able to be just fine. I mean, it's Nintendo. I mean, how can you think of
game... I don't know if Nintendo can think out of the box, man. Do you remember the GameCube? It was a box, man. They're totally in the box.
That's very true. But the GameCube was awesome. The GameCube was really cool.
Oh, dude, Super Smash Brothers, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome, but is it worth buying a Wii U for, Or
an
Xbox One or a PlayStation?
Yeah, probably not. Well, especially if you're a budget gamer.
You got The Last of Us on the PlayStation,
Yeah. Like I said, especially if you're a budget gamer, you can only really pick one console. And it's probably not going to be the Wii U.
Unless you're not even going to be considered. Really budgeted gamer and can't even afford an Xbox One.
That's true. Or if you're just a super diehard fan for Mario and Zelda.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there are out there. That's why I pretty much got into an Xbox was just for Halo.
So it
definitely can happen. But I mean, you got other people out there like Steam. They've took off PC gaming. They don't even touch consoles. I mean, why would they? But
they're releasing this really new Steam Box, which is cool, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, which is another thing that budget gamers can look forward to. But and actually another thing that Nintendo has to worry about, because these Steam Boxes are going to be actually pretty popular, I think.
Yeah, and you can get one relatively cheap.
Yeah,
and you'll be able to stream everything onto your TV and stuff. So it'll be almost like a console.
Yeah, I was talking about the streaming beta here that's coming out. That's really really cool. Basically, they're saying that they've sent out invitations to development partners to try out the streaming beta, and basically what it is it can allow you to stream games from your computer to your stream machine to other devices. So it's actually a really cool idea. I'm not sure if it's something that I'd really be interested in, but that's particularly because I don't really have to worry about that kind of stuff. But what were you gonna say?
The basis of it is, okay, let's say you buy a Steam machine, but you also have this really nice computer setup. You can play all of your really super demanding games on high graphics, run it and process it on your awesome computer, but stream it to your Steam machine, which will allow you to play it on your 50,000 inch TV. So
that sounds like quite an exaggeration.
Yeah, I mean, you can be sitting there playing, like, I don't know, Team Fortress, Crysis, what's some other awesome? Total War.
Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead, all on your TV while sitting on the couch. Because you'll be able to stream all of that gameplay, all the processing goes on the computer, and it just kind of streams all that info to the Steam machine, and you can sit there and play it on your couch. But there's a lot of problems with it right now, which it's in beta, but they've had a lot of errors.
Right.
Lag, stuttering, and then the streaming's not even working. So.
And the reason why it doesn't seem like it's something that'd be viable for me personally is because when I want to do something like that,
I just use an HDMI cable and plug in through that from my laptop to my TV, actually, which I do for work and gaming sometimes. But I can definitely see that. I mean, there might be some other cool features that come with it that maybe they haven't specified yet. But right now, for me personally, it's not something I'd really be interested in doing at all, because I can already do it right now with just one simple cable. But not everybody, would have that possibility of, and again, that's only with a laptop too, which is actually, yeah, now that I think about it,
but
that's just,
I mean,
because I have
you
a laptop.
Also look at, you look at like people that have computer desktops like I do, you know, I'm sitting in a gamer chair, I'm looking at my monitor, I'm hunched over my keyboard, all this crap. And if I went out and bought like a $500 Steam machine that maybe can't play those super, you know, high graphic games, I can still play them on my Steam machine on the comfort of my couch because I have a desktop computer that can handle that.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool thing about it. You know, it's still in beta. We mentioned the errors, but it's not all bad. There's an example of a guy that's playing DayZ on it right now on his TV, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Playing DayZ on a 52-inch flat screen would be pretty sweet.
Right? Yeah. And I think that that's really good because they are making it available to, you know, gamers all over. You know, it's not just going to be particular people with higher budgets or whatever, but pretty much if you're going to get a Steam machine, this is something that's going to be something that you want to look into.
And I think it's something cool because you get the option of buying like a lower grade Steam machine if you're and just streaming from your PC that you already have to it. Or, you know, if you're a budget gamer, you can go for kind of a medium range Steam machine and just use that as your computer to play console games. So it's really looking cool.
And also, while we're talking about the price on it real quick, I know that the internet, and I'm sure a lot of you guys out there probably do believe that the prices for the Steam machine are actually extremely high. I don't know if you guys listened to our last few episodes, but we've talked about that a little bit. The Steam prices are not at all expensive. I mean, they are competitively priced with the consoles.
Alienware specifically announced that they're going to be competitively priced. Mm-hmm. They've already released a lot of other, like a lot of companies are doing it, and they've already released a lot of prices on it. And several of them are around the $500, $600 range.
Right. And there still are the ones that will cost, you know, $1,400 to $1,600. But that is not the only ones that are listed. There are cheap ones out there. So don't believe everything you hear on the internet, because that's what a lot of people are raging about, surprisingly. Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the internet?
Yeah, man. Everything put on the internet is true, of course. Haven't you seen that insurance commercial with the French model guy?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who's totally a French model, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I've seen a lot of that on there, and I'm really surprised that everyone just kind of blew up over, oh my gosh, they're $1,600, I could build a better computer, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And a lot of the thing is, on those companies that have listed it for a very high price, you also have to think about that the Steam machines, a lot of times, are customizable. So you can probably, you know, if the company is listing a Steam machine at $1,000, that might be for a custom higher grade unit.
That's very true.
So it just depends what company you go with, what you want to customize your Steam machine with, because the more you add, the more it's going to go up. But like I said, Alienware is the prime example of saying that they're going to be competitively priced with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. So that's tells me that the machine's going to be like $500-$600.
It's funny. I saw a link on the page. I don't know if you saw it too. Actually, I'll go ahead and send it to you real quick. But the Valve actually updated the design on their new controller. Did you see that by any chance?
Yeah, I did see the Steam Machine controller.
The Steam Machine controller.
Yeah,
they got rid of the visual, the touch screen buttons. Now, the controller still looks the same, but actually you're not having to worry about touchpad responses, which I think is a great idea because, I mean, as a gamer, things like that, it probably wouldn't be as responsive as you would want it to be. It's dropping the touch screen from the center of its controller, and that the Move ditches the what is this saying? Conceivably infinite number of buttons presented on the touchscreen for a rather more finite and traditional D-pad, which, again, is something that's very important for gaming, with a, you know, if you're playing fighting games. And what's cool is it's actually got, looks like a D-pad on both sides. I've never seen anything like that before.
The D-pad that they're going with is it's not the traditional, like, you know, the up, yeah, down arrow and the side. It's like that concave thing where, like, the sensors are underneath the D-pad. And so it seems pretty cool. It seems like it'll be, it takes the shape of an Xbox controller. So
it's something you're used to.
It looks like it's good. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty familiar.
Yeah, so I think that's. Yeah, I think it looks good.
I can't say how good it is until I actually play with it. But it looks like they have a decent setup there.
Yeah, and it doesn't look very intimidating on this as far as, like, oh my gosh, I have to learn how to use a whole new controller. Which is funny because, like, when the Xbox came out, the transition from that controller to, like, the popular Nintendo 64 controller was completely different. Completely different. And everyone, I remember a lot of my friends were all like, that's never going to work. You know, because, I mean, how many hours? I mean, the Nintendo, the 64 controller already works. I mean, GoldenEye was awesome. It's so perfect and precise. And then, of course, the Xbox comes out. And it was even better. So,
oh, the Xbox controller is amazing.
Except for the really big one, the really giant one.
The S version.
The one that, like,
was freaking awesome.
Made your hands cramp.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, the smaller one that they came out with was
amazing.
Yeah, and then, of course, wait, what?
Dirty joke, in my mind.
it didn't quite process right away. But anyway, you know, so we don't really know how, I guess, effective this controller will be, how good, how viable it will be. I mean, we've never really been able to try it. Maybe one day we will, before, you know, it gets released, we can test it out. But you know, it might actually work better. You just don't know. You have to wait and try to and see. But it does seem pretty cool. I do really like the fact that they've changed that thing about with the buttons. But anyway, so the League of Legends Season 4, it has begun. There's a lot of hype over the new season. League of Legends is, of course, one of the most popular MOBAs out there. They've made
sure... I would dare to say that it's probably the most popular, but yeah. I'm biased.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to say an unbiased opinion, but it's really hard to actually have an unbiased opinion when you actually play the game nonstop. For me,
I actually do believe it is the top played MOBA. I'm pretty sure of that.
I would have to agree with you. That's an unbiased thing. I really do think that it is. Dota is extremely popular. So is, what was the other one? Heroes of New Earth.
Which that's fallen out a lot. That was popular before League of Legends came out, but yeah, League of Legends has exploded since then. I would say, if at all, the two most popular MOBAs are League of Legends and Dota, and I think League of Legends has Dota beat.
I have to agree. Now, Dota may be more competitive and it may take more skill, but League of Legends is still the most popular and, in my opinion, more fun game. There's a few other MOBAs out there, actually. Did you ever play the Lord of the Rings MOBA? Or any chance?
I heard about it. I didn't play it.
Did you ever? Oh, okay.
I've only played a few MOBAs. I was pretty much just stuck with League of Legends.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it. But of course, then there's a new MOBA coming out from Blizzard that we talked about last week a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back on track. The season 4 has begun. Us, personally, we're really excited for that. It's one of the most competitive video games out there. I mean, me personally, the only time I ever got this competitive with a video game was back in my old, like, Halo 2 days. And which is funny because back then there was no... Esports wasn't really a thing back then, you know? It was kind of just... Right. It was here and there.
We had the MLG matches. but it just wasn't as big as esports is today.
And what's funny is if you watch the North American LCS and you look at the audience in there, the audience there is already much larger than any of the MLG games that they would hold, the events. Because I tried to watch a few of them. They've even had like Call of Duty tournaments there that I've seen, and the audience is just, it's pathetic. But when you go to just something as just the North American LCS, there's a couple hundred people in there.
Yeah, I think League of Legends has really boosted the esports community and the legitimacy of it by a lot.
Mm-hmm. You remember the HBO highlight that they did, right? Did you ever see that?
I think you sent me a link to it a couple weeks back. I was so pissed off hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, the full interview, though, I don't know if you saw that one, the one where they were with Skara. Did you see that one?
Maybe not. No, I don't think I did.
So
I don't remember him.
So. Yeah, it's the big fat Korean guy.
Right.
I think he's the only one in there, actually.
Yeah,
actually, she followed him around for a good while and actually watched him stream and everything and learned a lot about it. And going into it, she was not really expecting anything out of this. She thought it was kind of a joke, right? Coming out of it, she had a lot of respect for it. She went to one of the tournaments. I don't know if it was an LCS match or if it was the Worlds or not, but she went to one of them, and she was actually really impressed. And then she went to talk to her colleagues, and they all mocked her, basically. Or not mocked her, but they mocked esports.
Esports in general.
And they mocked the fans, which...
Yeah, which really pissed me off when I heard about that.
Yeah, but to be fair, the guy was like 90. So to him, it's just not even...
He can have a heart attack. That pacemaker of his can stop and he can die.
Yeah. Well then. Alrighty. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. But basically, they it's just still a joke to them. They're like, it'll never be anything. But anyway, so...
Give it a few more years, man. We'll be... Esports will be up there, man.
Oh, I can easily see this on ESPN. I can easily see it on ESPN, no doubt.
It's great.
But anyway, about the start of the LCS in particular, we saw a lot of our old favorite teams come back. Team Solo Mid, Evil Geniuses, Cloud9, Curse. CLG wasn't there much. Actually, wait, no, they were. I'm sorry. I'm retarded. Counter Logic Gaming, yeah. They were there. But there was a few other ones that I didn't see. But anyway, we got to watch quite a few of the matches, or at least I know I did. I think, Josh, you watched a few of them too. I got to watch a lot of Friday, day one. And it started off with a bang. Basically, it was Cloud9 versus Team Solo Mid.
And which are the two top standing teams right now.
Yes, actually, they're tied for first. And it was kind of interesting to start that. Like, that's how you start it off. Like, hey, this is the matchup that we're all going to look forward to see. Let's just start it off like that instead of waiting for the end. But anyway, it was an interesting match. Team Solo Mid actually ended up losing. Cloud9 kept a really strong lead throughout the whole LCS weekend. They only lost one game, which was interesting because they lost it to Team Dignitas. Which is funny because TSM was actually... It was very easy for TSM to beat Team Dignitas on Saturday. I can't remember the actual score, but it was... I mean, it was a wipeout. They beat them pretty hard. And then Team Dignitas goes and pretty much does the same thing to Cloud9. Now, I'm kind of thinking, is that just... an ego level? Did Cloud9 just think, oh, these guys... Like, we don't even have to try, and then to see them pull out, like, they completely lost. And that was actually the only thing that was able to make TSM to be able to tie them for first. Now, the other ones that were playing, Counter Logic Gaming, Curse, Team Coast, which I've never actually heard of, and XDG and Evil Geniuses. They didn't really do too well in the matches. Evil Geniuses actually only won one game, which I was kind of surprised. And XDG also only won game. So right now...
You know, I was really surprised to see Evil Geniuses lose so many games because they did really, really well in their promotional series.
Right.
That I was expecting them to do a lot better.
Yeah, which is also another funny thing is because some of the MVPs, the top performers, well, not Evil Genius, but Team Coast in particular, they didn't do too hot, but Shipter, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, he was 13-5 in his KDA ratio. He was the top performer. Top performer. And the next one down was Cop from Curse, which was 9.5. But still, he still couldn't carry his team hard enough. His back wasn't strong enough. it's, you know, I'm looking at some of the other ones, and then you have Meteos with 6.4, and then you have Kiwi Kid at 6.3, and then finally you have Burgesson, who was at 5.8. Which,
Talk about Bergergesen's plays.
Oh, yeah.
He had some sweet plays in mid, especially when he was playing LeBlanc, and he got like four or five chains in a row. It was crazy.
Have you seen, by any chance, the other game where he was playing Zed?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, my gosh. He basically, you know, Zed and LeBlanc are pretty similar in play style as far as the dashing. I mean, just that part. He kind of played it the same way. He is really good at juking, especially with Zed. If you're not paying attention, you'll lose track of where he is on the map. And that's actually, I've never really been a fan of him before, but after watching him play in the LCS this weekend, which actually I think was only his second tournament that he's been in with TSM, and he's been performing very well. And it's kind of funny because TSM kind of has this thing, I guess, whenever they bring on new players now, that they outperform, like, everybody. Because when Wild Turtle came on, he was replacing Chaox as their ADC. And Wild Turtle, his very first match in the LCS, got the very first pentakill in the LCS history.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
And then it was like, all right, guys, so we're all... We're agreed to keep Wild Turtle and just kick out Chaox. Everyone was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, there's been some pretty crazy plays in this week's LCS. You guys should definitely check it out. There's been some awesome initiates by Pantheon players.
Ezreal
was
crazy
played. It was pretty cool. There's been some crazy stuff going on. It's been a lot of fun watching.
Yeah, and if you are the kind of person that doesn't normally watch games played, but rather likes to play them, watching a League of Legends match makes you want to go and play it. It's actually really entertaining. And
it's not boring. Like I don't know, you could kind of get bored watching like first-person shooter matches and stuff like that, but League of Legends... You can see all the players, you can see all the ward placements, you can see everything going on, and it's not that I watch sports, but it's like watching a sport. So it's like watching football or whatever, you know, it's two teams against each other, and it's skill versus skill, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
And it's funny because, back to kind of what we were talking about earlier about esports, is the announcers do a lot to make it enjoyable. The announcers really do a lot. These guys, they know the game very well, and they're very good at announcing. I mean, it's like you're watching a soccer game. They do play-by-play very, very accurately, and it's very entertaining to watch and listen to them. Actually, and I cannot remember the guy's name, but if anyone can remember, it's the only British guy, the announcer. And I cannot remember his name, but he's my absolute favorite. I love listening to him because he gets so into it. He gets so into it. And I remember one time I was actually watching it at a friend's house, and somebody thought that I was watching a football game. They were like, "What game are you watching?" League of Legends. yeah. And it's funny because right now at this point in time, you feel embarrassed to be like, "Yeah, I watch that." And it's like, huh?
I embrace it. I don't feel it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you're not going to go over to a friend's house and be like, hey, so did you catch the League of Legends game? No? Oh, okay. But, you know, at one point, I'm sure at some point it will become at that point, but we're not there just yet. But anyway, so yeah, the LCS started. The next matches are coming up this weekend, so stay tuned. We'll actually get to see where the rest of the teams are headed, and you know, root for your favorite team. Personally, I am rooting for TSM. I know that's kind of cliche because they're like the team favorite in North America, but whatever, I don't care. I've watched them the longest, so they're my favorite. They're really good, and I really do like Curse. I like Curse because of Skara. Skara is awesome. But anyway, the other game that we play a lot of is DayZ, and they're coming out with an experimental patch. Now, this one is kind of interesting, and oh, I think my link is bad on to it. Here we go. I got it. So DayZ.
You're talking about the new DayZ patch.
Yeah. That's adding in.
We finally get a shotgun for all that shotgun ammo that I was picking up and then realized there was no shotguns in the game.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that they actually put that in, but not the actual gun to use. But what's interesting about the shotgun is it's going to be a craftable shotgun. Now, at this point in time, I didn't even know how to craft anything other than, like, put attachments on guns and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah, I haven't done much of the crafting, so
yeah,
it's gonna be pretty cool as they release these patches that incorporate more crafting, so it becomes, you know, more available.
Yeah, and they're doing a lot of fixes. I'm looking at the change log right now, and there are probably maybe 24 or so, two dozen or so fixes that they're doing. Which of course we're probably not gonna get the ones we really need. they're doing some added in new things. They're adding in also berry picking. It's kind of interesting because the fact that I guess it's going to be easier to stay alive, but I kind of like the fact that they put such an emphasis on canned beans that you kind of needed to kind of stay alive, and now it's probably going to be easier unless they make it to where like some berries are poisonous or something. Because I could totally see that.
I remember when they first released the alpha, and the only way to open your stupid can of beans was to find a can opener. And I could never find one. And mm-hmm. I was always starving. So a week maybe so after they released the patch that allowed you to open it with like a lot more stuff. So they're definitely releasing a lot of patches, adding a lot of content. And generally making improvements to the game.
Mm-hmm. So they're also adding in hacksaws, which it does not specify what you can use that for, but I'm pretty sure we can guess.
I would guess hacking or sawing, but probably not both.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say that. I was like, you're probably only going to get one or the other. they're adding in some animations. Apparently you can paint a Mosin now. You can pick up spray paint.
Ooh, camo paint your Mosin?
That seems pretty cool.
That'd be pretty sweet. I'm gonna paint my Mosin pink though.
Yeah, but make sure your guy is full camo. But your gun is pink.
Bright pink.
Nobody will expect it. They'll probably just run away and think it's a hacker. burlap sacks. Now we've been seeing those around the game, and now apparently you can use them, and they can be placed on top of heads. Placed on head of self. I'm pretty sure that's a typo, or target. So
that's cool.
And apparently,
so now when you handcuff somebody, you can put a bag over their head too.
And it says, and
execute them.
Dude, and it says that when the burlap sack is on the head, that basically whoever it's on gets a black screen, reduced and reduce sound when worn.
That's awesome.
So you could literally handcuff a guy, burlap sack, and just leave him.
That's pretty cool.
And they'd have no idea what to do.
Yeah, imagine once they finally break out of those handcuffs, they can remove the burlap sack. Or once they finally introduce cars, you can stuff them in your car and take them back to base. And remember that one video where they had the bus and mm-hmm. they like enticed a bunch of people yeah. on the bus and like took them to deathmatch arenas?
Which is funny because they misled them into doing that, which was awesome.
Yeah. Now you can force them. Hey, we're taking you to deathmatch arena.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I think it's a really cool idea. There's a lot of really cool patches that they're coming out with. And again, like they keep on putting these patches out. Real quick. I saw that players can now be revived with defibrillators.
Oh, yay. So is that like revived from death?
Well, was there a bug? It just says revived.
It's still probably unconscious. Maybe there was a bug. Is it a fix or is it new?
Okay, no, it does say fixed. It is a fix.
Yeah, so it was probably bugging out.
Yeah, because before, all you could do was revive a unconscious... Not revive. You could, I guess, yeah, revive an unconscious player. Somebody just got knocked out.
State of consciousness.
Yes, thank you. so now, apparently, it could be where... And it does not specify, though, if it's a dead person or not.
I doubt it, because right now, they're still having glitches with the dead bodies. So it's probably a glitch where the defibrillator wasn't allowing you mm-hmm. to... Conscious eyes. Is that a word? Conscious eyes? unconscious player.
Sure, we'll
I'm
go with
go
it.
With that.
We'll
a,
go
that's
with
a
it.
Word, guys. Conscious eyes and unconscious
oh,
player.
Oh.
Bam.
Oh.
That's a word.
And hey, real quick, another really cool thing. Weapon cleaning kit used to keep your guns in good shape.
Ah, that's pretty sweet.
This is really cool. Now,
yeah, because you've already had the different levels of how badly damaged items and your guns are. Mm-hmm. So that's a really cool new feature now that you can clean your gun. Maybe that'll either increase the accuracy, increase the condition of the gun, because a lot of times I picked up guns where they're mm-hmm. in like bad condition. And we've noticed, Ian specifically was the first one to notice it, where if like your stock was in a really bad condition, it was harder to aim with. And when you change it out, it was a lot easier to.
Well, that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's going to be something really cool to check out and to see what improves with your gun.
Now, with all these added in things, like they're adding in a lot of stuff, but still, there's no tents. There's no way to like hold all this stuff. One of the other things they fixed was the infinite backpack. Thing, I guess, where you could hold stuff infinitely, like Backpack Inception or something. But
Backpack Inception.
Yeah. And I'm still the
it only,
only
works
thing
if you're asleep though.
Yeah. The only thing that is still like the one major turnoff for this game is there's nowhere to store this stuff. Because there is so much more stuff in the standalone than there ever was in the mod at this point already. That there's just nowhere to put the stuff. I know that I've been playing, like, my guy's actually been alive ever since the game launched. Like, I haven't died yet. And I have so much stuff to carry, and I don't want to get rid of anything. So, yeah. I am a hoarder. It's the zombie apocalypse, man. Come on. What else are you going to do?
Hoard all your empty tin cans.
Yes.
You might need them one day.
I might need to smelt it to make, tin and metals and trade it, Anyway, they're still putting out lots of patches. That's one really great thing about Rocket is he's still working hard. He's already made his millions, but he's still working very hard to put these things out. There's still games out there to compete with. And
Rust.
Mm-hmm. Rust is actually, I think, its top competitor, if not already surpassed their numbers.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking up Rust next time it's on sale, guys. Check it out if you haven't checked it out. It's pretty cool.
Now, would they put an early access alpha on sale, though?
I don't know. I'm hoping it'll go on sale and I can buy it because it looks like a really fun game.
Anyway, we have a new segment that we're going to start doing. We dabbled in it a little bit last week, but it's going to be Negative Apex's Quickie. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and go on into it. So Josh,
I'll go ahead and give you guys the Quickie.
You got it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, DayZ Standalone sold over 1 million copies in its first 4 weeks, guys, which is giving it a bright future as an alpha, and we're all proud of it. It's grown up so fast. Steam has begun to beta test a VR for the Oculus Rift. Basically what it does is but projects the Steam client ahead of you as if it's floating on a giant screen. Pretty sweet. League of Legends 4.1 was released on 1/14/14, which included major changes to Annie, Riven, and Shivani. There was also significant changes to the jungle items. The Humble Bundle has some great selections, including Rios, Strike Suit Zero, Surgeon Simulator, and six other great indie games. And it's all for under $6. So check out the Humble Bundle weekly, guys. It's pretty great. And that's your Quickie for the week.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Josh. And thanks a lot for joining us tonight. It's great having everyone. And remember to follow us on Facebook. It's / Rage Quit Radio. On twitch.tv, it's Rage Quit Radio. And on Twitter, it's MLR Rage Quit. And don't forget to tune in, guys, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can also watch us stream. And you can get all the latest news on tech and gaming. And stay tuned for Hippo Juice.